Good morning and welcome to this hour of worship, coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost. Pastor Alan Miller chosen for a sermon topic, Salvation is of the Lord, based on Mark chapter 10, verses 23 through 31. Mr. Ron Baker will be at the organ this morning, and your announcer is Ron Meyer.
Good morning. It's so good to be with all of you today. Great to come together during the changing of the weather and the changing of the season. To be encouraged that our God never changes, that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He is so full of love and kindness and goodness towards us each and every day. And it's we come together to hear that message again. Let us join together and worship our God with our first hymn, number 906. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you of all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. with you. Let us pray. O God, your divine wisdom sets in order all things in heaven and on earth. Put away from us all things hurtful, and give us those things that are beneficial for us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's Word. Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. And what advantage has their owner but to see them with his eyes? Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much. But the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep. There is a grievous evil that I have seen under the sun. Riches were kept by their owner to his hurt, and those riches were lost in a bad venture. And he is a father of a son, but he has nothing in his hand. As he came from his mother's womb, he shall go again, naked as he came, and shall take nothing for his toil that he may carry away in his hand. This also is a grievous evil. Just as he came, so shall he go. And what gain is there to him who toils for the wind? Moreover, all his days he eats in darkness, and much vexation and sickness and anger. Behold, what I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of his life that God has given him. For this is his lot. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil, this is the gift of God. For he will not much remember the days of his life, because God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest. As he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this passage he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news fail to enter because of disobedience, again, he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterward, and the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rest from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." They were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the hymn of the day, 739. difficult it is for those with wealth to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, Jesus says, than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Now, we won't know till the last day just how true these words really are. But when the books are at last opened, when everything is finally brought to the light, and when men are judged according to their deeds, surely we will be reminded of these solemn words and how we will remember how we were warned that it is indeed easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle and for the rich to enter heaven. Dear friends, the lives of rich men are not to be envied. Let no one covet their neighbor's wealth, for with all of their pomp and luxuries, truly they carry heavy weights along with them on their journey toward heaven. They carry burdens that you dare not wish upon yourselves. For it is these, Jesus says, who live most in danger of stumbling in the faith. Those with wealth are living in constant danger, if you will, of falling away, of losing not only their wealth, but their very souls in the process. Jesus spoke many times about wealth, describing it another time as a kind of spiritual weed. And weeds, I think that it's the perfect metaphor for wealth. For it truly has a way of just crowding out the mind. Wealth has a way of choking the word of life and suffocating the faith that we have. Now, money, it has a way of doing that just so naturally. It has a way of pulling down our minds and making all of our thoughts to think about the world. Or instead of thinking about heavenly things, we begin thinking about the flesh. And the wealth, it has a way of drawing our eyes down, where instead of looking to the things above, we're moved to look to the things around us. Of all men, then, those are most pitied who have the greatest wealth. Again, they live in this constant danger of making shipwreck of their faith. Again, carrying great weights along with them on their journey toward heaven. Every step is threatened, if you will, with stumbling blocks. Now, while we often covet always more and more wealth, envying our neighbor's things, it's interesting to see the way that God values wealth. See just how little God puts on worldly wealth. It seems like he actually gives more of it to the ungodly than he does to the godly. Now, if wealth, if it had any true inherent worth at all, dear friends, then God would certainly bestow that upon every single one of his people. If God should give us his own son, surely then he would give us worldly riches as well, if he actually deemed them as something worthwhile. But dear friends, God doesn't see worldly wealth as if it's anything special. It's all just a facade, an empty shadow, a vapor of smoke, as Solomon says, vanity of vanities. Through the eyes of faith, one can see there is no substance to the things of this world at all. God never promises to give money to his children because it's just not worth anything. It's nothing worthy of promising. Why make a promise that's empty of anything important? No, the day is coming when the riches of this world will be burnt up in a blaze, and those who have trusted in it will finally see its true worth when it leaves their fingers like a vapor in the wind. We could go even a step farther, actually, because in God's eyes, I think we could, in a way, say that money can easily be deemed as something worse than nothing. Well, there is, of course, nothing inherently wicked in wealth. Time and again, though, it proves itself as a great snare. Because everyone that uses their wealth properly, we can find 10,000 who are ensnared, who get tripped up on the pathway to heaven. Again, the rich are to be pitied more than to be envied, because their path is strewn with marbles and banana peels. It's the rich who are the least equipped to run that race with endurance. For who can run and not grow weary when weighed down with all the cares of the world? Prosperity in this world has often brought man's destruction in the world to come. And while Jesus puts a special emphasis upon the rich this morning, I want to broaden his words and apply it more clearly to all of us this morning. Because in one sense, none of us ever really truly think of ourselves as rich. You know, everyone has it in their own minds that rich, it's always just one step higher than what I have. And so the temptation is to say in hearing this warning, well, I'm not rich, and therefore Jesus, he's not talking to me. So instead of leaving it ambiguous, let's just even the playing field for a moment. Let's broaden the scope, because I believe we can do so while still remaining faithful to the text. How difficult it is for anyone to enter the kingdom of heaven. Yes, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Last week we looked together at the seriousness of sin and how sin, we saw it's infinitely worse than what we ever imagine. We did that again by looking at the consequences of sinning against different levels of authority. And how the higher up in the authority ladder you go, the greater the crime is that's committed against them. The more honor a person or an office deserves, the greater is the offense that's committed against them. And we concluded then that to sin against an infinitely great God, against one to whom infinite honor is due, an infinite injustice is done. We see again the seriousness of sin. For not only do we sin against the Lord, but in every sin, we go even a step farther. It's as if we're insulting God to his face. Every sin, if we think about it, is an attack on God's character. It's as if we're calling God a tyrant. Perhaps we'd never dare to do so with our words, But our actions betray us. Every time we sin, what are we doing but claiming that God's commandments are harsh and arbitrary, that they don't truly lead to happiness? Every time we sin, it's as if we are calling the all-wise God foolish. To sin is to say with your body that I know better than God. That I know what will bring me pleasure and what will promote my well-being. Again, to sin is to call the God of truth a liar. For though he threatens punishment, death, and hell, it's as if in sin we're denying that, saying that nothing bad is going to happen to me. Well, we would never speak such foolishness. Again, our actions betray us. For what we dare not say in word, we preach that in deed. Every sin is a rebellion against the Lord. It's an insult unto his face. It's to call that God of love hateful, as if saying that his commandments are withholding something good from us. Dear friends, I ask, can these be little matters? Can sinners insult the living God and yet find favor in his eyes? Can you smack the judge and spit on his face and not receive justice? Or can sinners fight against goodness and yet still receive blessing from a holy God? Well, do the disciples ask in verse 26, well, who then can be saved? Surely, he's right, it's easier for a camel to go through a needle than for sinners to be saved. Sin, it has separated us from our God. He is too holy as to look upon sin, and yet we have bathed ourselves in it. And still today do we continue to wallow in sin. Who then can be saved? Surely there is no hope to be had. Well, dear friends, what is impossible with man is possible with God. For God, all things are possible. Come unto me, Jesus says, and you will live. And dear friends, don't insult him again by saying he boasts beyond his ability. Don't measure his ability to save you with your inability to save yourself. Don't measure his wisdom with your foolishness, his power with your weaknesses, nor measure his greatness with the littleness of your being. For though impossible for you to save yourself, such is not beyond the abilities of our infinite God. Dear friends, nor is it beyond his desire. Hear him cry, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Oh, he says, how I've longed to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wing. Though an infinite debt we have incurred, praise be to God, the infinite God has been willing and able to pay the price. For mathematicians, they tell us that not all infinities are created equal. But the infinite God, who is all in all, has swallowed up the immensity of sin and the immensity of his being. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the eternal infinite God has come down to achieve man's salvation. Though the battle was fierce in the garden, Though the living God who upholds the universe was seen sweating great drops of blood. Although the Almighty was seen wallowing upon the ground, yet did he conquer sin, and he conquered it completely. We hear him yelling upon the cross, "It is finished." It wasn't with a whimpering, bated breath, but we're told it's a triumphant strength that he gave up his spirit. His strength, we're told, after all of this, it was not diminished. The infinite God has no limits. And the infinite God in human flesh, he has paid the infinite price that you and I deserve. For the life of the living God, and giving it up for us, it was of infinite value. And he has given all of it, his lifeblood, as a ransom for your sin. Who then can be saved? The disciples ask. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever hides their life in Christ Jesus. If I had 1,000 souls, dear friends, I would trust all of them into the loving care of my Lord and God. For we can be confident that his blood satisfies the debt of the law, and he shall sustain us to life everlasting. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, would you please stand and join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have had mercy upon your creation and that you sustain life and well-being in the lives of your people. And through various means, Lord, you have provided for us in both body and soul. And lead us to continue and to start for many of us to put our trust in you, and that we would continue in full confidence, knowing that a soul in you is never in any true danger. We ask that you would uphold us, strengthen us, defend us, and keep us in your steadfast love. Defend us all the days of our lives from the evil one, and give us a blessed end. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, as you give out worldly wealth and honor, lead us to have sober views about it. Guard our hearts and minds to cherish, above all things, spiritual things. Cultivate the faith within us, and let not the deceitfulness of riches crowd out that which is truly important. Give us spiritual life and zeal, that we should be spiritually minded and able to serve you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Give us new hearts, O Lord, that seek first your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord of the church, you are gracious and merciful, and you deeply care about your bride, the church. We ask that you would so provide for her everywhere, give her pastors and leaders, raise up and equip her with the leaders, the people, skills, and resources that she needs. Give to her everything she needs as you promise to present us blameless on the last day, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Be with the churches in our area who are in search for a pastor. We ask that you would be with Maria and me as we continue contemplating upon the calls to serve at other churches. Grant guidance, peace, and wisdom through the process. And let our decision be pleasing to you as we seek first the kingdom of heaven. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God of all grace, great physician, we lift before you, last of all, those who are struggling with the pains of body and soul, especially with Millie Dorman as she fell and broke or cracked her femur this past week in a few places. We do praise you that the surgery went wonderfully, and just ask that you would continue to grant healing, grant strength and recovery, and surround her with friends, with families and nurses, and give her a clarity of mind as she's in rehab. I'll be with all who are on our hearts and minds this morning. We lift before you also new mothers who are being treated with preeclampsia. Bring recovery and strength to these. Lord, bring light and life to all who we lift before you this morning. Mercifully grant your comfort, contentment, and strength to rest upon us. According to your promise and gracious will, use trials to accomplish your purpose and bring your people always to greater dependence upon you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. And taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we worship God with our offerings. Would you please stand?
Amen.
Our service continues with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for departing hymn 761.